WBTV's Good Question is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network. Listen to your city at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.
North Carolina's primary election is happening on Tuesday, May 17th. It's a midterm year, but there are important races to pay attention to. We're talking to a political science professor, asking why voters should hit the polls and how much influence does former President Donald Trump still have.
North Carolina is a highly competitive state that tends to lean slightly to the right.
This is WBTV's Good Question. Welcome to WBTV's Good Question. Alex Giles here with producer Jack Vandertal. We are joined now by Dr. Michael Bitzer, political science professor at Catawba College here in North Carolina. Dr. Bitzer, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure to be with you.
Wanted to first ask if you could just give us a brief rundown, a history, if you will, of primary elections in North Carolina.
So primary elections differ from the general election in that you're picking the party nominees to compete in November. This is when the party activists, all of the candidates are really vying for the party politics behind the nomination process, and then they move on to the general election in November. So this is really kind of the first hurdle towards the general election to pick the party candidates for all the respective offices that we'll have on the ballot.
I feel like there's been a fair amount of buzz about this year's primary elections. Mm-hmm. Would you say it's that way every time a primary comes up, or are some years definitely more popular than others, just depending on the races?
It really depends on the competitiveness of the races and the time that the primary is held in. We're in what is called a midterm election year. There's no presidential race. There's no gubernatorial race here in North Carolina, but there is a U.S. Senate race. Richard Burr's seat is up for election. He chose not to run for re-election. So we've got an open seat primary on both the Democratic and, more importantly, the Republican side. So that's, I think, driving a lot of statewide interest. We also have interest in several congressional districts that are potentially competitive come this fall. So primaries can range in the type of competitiveness and the type of interest, but still we are probably dealing with a very low turnout rate for the primary elections in these midterm election years.
Why is that, sir? Why the low turnout?
That's a great question. It's primarily because you really get the party activist, those engaged voters that show up to vote. Typically in a presidential year, the primaries, particularly if there's a contested presidential primary, could garner about 30% of registered voters showing up. Traditionally, in midterm years, that drops by half to typically around 15% voter turnout. Now, this year's election, based on just the early votes that have been cast so far, is mirroring more like the 2020 presidential primary election than the 2018 primary election. And there's some unique factors with 2018 that we can talk about, but we could potentially see a much higher, more than 15%, but I would be surprised if it's at 30 or above, probably somewhere in between.
And you're saying that is essentially par for the course for a primary in a midterm year.
That is a very traditional kind of trend in looking back over primary elections. That has typically been the dominant factor, very low turnout.
This might be a little bit specific, but do you know if former President Donald Trump, if he has increased turnout in the years that he's been around? And obviously he's still involved in the political sphere now.
I think certainly you can go back to two important elections, the most recent elections, 2018 and 2020, and see the Trump energy effect on both the Democratic and Republican side. In 2018, which was Donald Trump's midterm year, that was what we call a blue moon election cycle. We had no major statewide contest, like a U.S. Senate contest, on the ballot. But in that general election in November, 53% of registered voters showed up. That has blown the record out of any blue moon election cycle in a very long time here in North Carolina. Go to the 2020 presidential election, which Donald Trump won North Carolina but lost nationwide. Our registered voter turnout went up to 75%, above 69% just 4 years prior. So yes, Donald Trump has had a major influence on voter enthusiasm, voter engagement, and subsequently voter turnout. It will be interesting to see if that dynamic holds true here in 2022.
And voters, when they go to the polls this time, they're going to have inflation on their minds, paying more out of pocket for gas and groceries and every item. Obviously, both parties are opportunists whenever current events are going on. In the terms of inflation right now, who does this help and who does this hinder?
Well, the inflation and economic concerns definitely benefit Republicans. And then typically in midterm election fundamentals, what we call the dynamics of midterm elections, the president's party typically always suffers in a midterm election. And that means the Democrats with President Joe Biden will have a very hard time going into November's general election. Economics tends to be at the top of the list whenever it comes to voters' choices when they are casting their ballots. And certainly the rise of inflation is critical. We typically tend to look at things like the unemployment rate, but this year I think is uniquely different because inflation is so pronounced, so much on people's radars, that Republicans will benefit from this. Now, we're still several months off from November, and we have a potential Roe v. Wade Supreme Court decision coming down that could potentially overturn that. That would galvanize likely Democrats to be engaged in the election come November. So there's still a lot of moving parts, but in general, this is going to be about the economy, and Republicans will benefit from that dynamic along with the added benefit of traditional midterm elections punishing the president's party.
I was going to ask that, too. You brought up Roe v. Wade. Do you think the resurgence of that national abortion debate could even drive folks to the polls for the primary, saying we just need the strongest candidates possible, you know, whether it's on the Republican or Democratic side?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think so close to the primary election on May 17th, there may be some effect, but I dare say that the greater effect will be in November, just because Democrats will see that as a threat. And the biggest push to get voters to the polls, threaten them, make them feel uncomfortable with current dynamics. That will likely be a prime motivator if indeed this decision does overturn Roe v. Wade and hand it back to the states.
Donald Trump has made such an unquestionable impact on the Republican Party. In terms of narrowing down to just Republicans, is it to a Republican candidate's advantage to show they have a closer connection and allegiance to Donald Trump, or is it to their benefit to sway the other way?
In my read of North Carolina Republican Party politics, you have to be in the corner of Donald Trump. And certainly the endorsement by the former president carries a lot of weight in a party primary that is hard to separate the candidates oftentimes. That stamp of approval sends a signal or a cue to Republican primary voters who are oftentimes the most loyal voters showing up in a primary that this president puts the stamp of approval on these candidates, folks like Ted Budd, folks like Beau Hinds, like Madison Cawthorn, and that kind of resonates and sends the signal to the voter to choose that particular individual. I'm of a firm belief that the North Carolina Republican Party and the primary electorate very much supports the former president and is pretty much willing to follow whatever his lead is.
Does that surprise you at all, seeing what's transpired in the last several years, up until the insurrection at the U.S. Capitol, does it surprise you that there's still so much allegiance to President Donald Trump?
It doesn't, because what we have transitioned into, I think, is almost the politics of personality, particularly within the Republican Party. Donald Trump has had such a stranglehold on the loyalty and the support by base voters that, his prediction, if he could go out on Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody, Republicans would still be supportive of the former president. I just don't see anything that has broken that hold on the Republican primary voter. In fact, it is probably at least held consistent or perhaps strengthened with him being out of office. But I think that weight that Donald Trump has within the Republican Party, particularly when it comes to primaries, will continue for some time.
I wanted to bring up Madison Cawthorn, who serves as U.S. Representative for North Carolina's 11th Congressional District. He's been in the headlines recently and for all the wrong reasons. Long list from a gun being recovered in his bags at Charles Douglas International Airport to some unfortunate videos that have gone viral over Twitter. Politically, on paper, it doesn't seem like someone could survive this. What is your take on his political future?
Generally, what we know is when a sitting incumbent candidate or representative is vying for their first re-election bid, they are the most vulnerable. Add on top of that, when a candidate is confronted with major news-shaking scandals, that only compounds the vulnerability of that particular individual. Madison Cawthorn is getting it from both sides. He's a first-term representative running for re-election, and he has had major negative news, some of it, multiple points of it, being self-inflicted, that it really just boggles the mind as a political scientist to say, how can this guy survive with this kind of onslaught? The key, I think, at this point in time, Trump's continued support. Now, there's been some question as to whether the president will continue his active support of Madison Cawthorn, but right now, that cue, that signal by the president to support Representative Cawthorn may be the thing that gets him over the edge in terms of avoiding a runoff and successfully being renominated. We'll just have to honestly wait and see until May 17th, but the dynamics just do not point to any other scenario other than defeat, but you've got that powerful influence of the Trump dynamic engaged in this, and that may be the saving grace for Madison Cawthorn.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Chuck Edwards, the challenger in that, the biggest challenger in that race, right? Do you think...
Correct, state senator.
And he's been endorsed by other, other top Republicans. Does he have a chance?
I think he certainly has a chance. He has had the support of folks like U.S. Senator Tom Tillis, both legislative Republican leaders, Tim Moore and Phil Berger, have come out in support. It feels very much like an intra-party civil war going on. You've got the Madison Cawthorn ranks versus the Raleigh Republicans and the establishment going after Cawthorn. And this is a battle within the Republican Party that, with all this dynamics going on, could the influence of Trump really save Madison Cawthorn? Or if Trump, for some reason, announces, I no longer support this individual, I'm going to stay out of this particular race, that could shift the dynamics considerably. But we've got, as we're taping this, basically a week to go. It's getting down to crunch time.
Absolutely. You've referenced this race a couple times in the interview thus far. Ted Budd, former Governor Pat McCrory. Has anything surprised you about that particular race thus far?
I think the consistency of Ted Budd over 30% and Pat McCrory in the 20% range feels like this is working towards the end, going into next Tuesday. I think, you know, the key thing to always remember is to avoid a runoff primary, a candidate has to get 30% and then one more vote than the person who comes in second. So if Bud is indeed above 30%, he's got that threshold. Again, this is the dynamic of Trump's endorsement, putting that kind of weight behind him, I think has really helped to keep this race as a Bud lead going into the primary election.
And McCrory, obviously, an unquestionable political reputation here in North Carolina. If he were to lose, do you think there's any chance he would run again? Is this kind of like the make or break?
I don't know. I can't speak for former Governor McCrory in terms of what his future might hold if he indeed loses this particular primary bid. I think the party as a whole has indeed recognized the Trump influence within it. And I think that that's something that all Republican candidates across this state have to recognize and deal with as well. This is a new Republican Party, and perhaps it shifted under former Governor McCrory's feet during that time period. But I think all candidates have basically got to ingratiate themselves with the Trump voter because they are so loyal in terms of their party politics.
I'm just still, you know, shaking my head because we're talking former governor, former mayor of Charlotte, and it sounds like Bud has a pretty commanding lead. And do you think most of that is due to that Trump influence?
Until shown otherwise, I have to go with what the data and what the dynamics play to me. You know, I think this points to the one critical aspect that I would point to was when Donald Trump was impeached for the second time and the Senate was voting guilty or not guilty on his impeachment, Richard Burr stood up and announced guilty, meaning that he believed Donald Trump should be impeached and removed. That sent shockwaves through the Republican establishment here in North Carolina. And the reaction was the North Carolina Republican Party censured Senator Burr, the senior Republican in Washington, for his vote to convict Donald Trump. I think that that speaks volumes about how the dynamics of the party as an organization and the party as an electorate view Donald Trump. Those individuals who are the party in government, the elected Republicans, have to respond to that dynamic.
We should mention the presumptive Democratic challenger come November, Sherry Beasley. Do you think she's going to have a good chance against what appears to be Ted Budd, but could also be McCrory?
I think for any Democrat running this year, it's going to be an uphill battle. The dynamics of the president's party, the president's approval rating being a potential drag on Democrats on the ballot this November is a real possibility. North Carolina is a highly competitive state, but we are a competitive state that tends to lean slightly to the right, Republican. So I think even though Democrats can win Roy Cooper in 2020, I think that this year's election is going to be a base kind of voter election. And that means the most intense individuals. And that requires turnout levels that are going to be an advantage to Republicans, typically in midterm elections here in North Carolina.
Going off of that U.S. Senate race, we've seen the advertisements for both McCrory, Bud, and Beasley, too, even though she appears to already have her side locked up. Do those political advertisements make a difference in the minds of the voters?
I think particularly when you look within the party primaries, there's not a whole lot of difference necessarily between the candidates. So the candidates have to distinguish themselves. And I think that's what you've seen with the Bud versus McCrory, and throw into effect the Club for Growth that's supporting Ted Budd and attacking Pat McCrory. I think that that dynamic is naturally playing out within the Republican primary. I think for Beasley, what she is doing is really reintroducing herself. She has run statewide, but this is a very high-profile position. that she is running for. And she almost has to run in the center, whereas Republicans can move more to the right to galvanize and energize their base. She's going to need some centrist North Carolina voters, along with an impressive turnout amongst her base, to really make this race competitive come November. Still many months out, and that could potentially happen, but those are the dynamics both sides are having to deal with now, say 6 months out from the general election.
Getting down towards the end of our questions here for you, Dr. B. Okay. Any other races that folks should keep an eye on here, maybe some that aren't getting the publicity, like that big U.S. Senate race?
I think certainly beyond the U.S. Senate race, the North Carolina 11th Congressional District, there are two districts in the Triangle, the Raleigh area, that I think a lot of people are paying attention to for the primary. One is the North Carolina 4th, in which incumbent David Price, a very long time serving member of the U.S. House from North Carolina, is retiring. That's an interesting Democratic battle between the establishment and more progressive Democrats for that nomination. And then one of the most competitive districts in North Carolina will be the 13th Congressional District. And that will be something to watch come November.
I thought of one as you were talking there. We've got the America First crowd versus some of the traditional Republicans on the Republican side. And we've got, you know, the very progressive versus some of the traditional Democrats on the Democratic side. Do you think these two fractured parties, is that going to hurt either one of them come November?
There's a possibility in terms of hard feelings, but 6 months is a long time in politics to try and heal some wounds. I think what we're dealing with in terms of voter behavior are, if you identify as a partisan, you are a loyal partisan voter to the tune of 75%, 85%, 95%, depending on your strength of identity to that political party, you are going to vote for your political party. We talk about these North Carolina swing voters, and we have had large swaths of them in the past. That number has shrunk considerably. They make a difference, but when you can energize and mobilize the most intense partisans, maybe you can lose some of those folks in the middle and compensate for winning more loyal voters with their ballots.
What is your pitch for the voter as to why they should care about these races in a primary for a midterm year?
Well, actually, some of these primaries are going to decide who already wins in November. So there may be some contest where it's just one party having a primary contest. There's no opposition. So you're not only electing the person that will represent that political party in November, but you're going ahead and basically making the decision of who will win in November. And I think that that's important for voters to recognize that perhaps for some of these contests, the real election isn't in November, it's on May 17th.
That's a fantastic point. Jack, anything else for Dr. B?
No, I think I'm all set.
Dr. Michael Bitzer, professor of politics at Catawba College here in North Carolina. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
WBTV's Good Question is a product of WBTV in cooperation with Queen City Podcast Network and Balto Creative Media.
From WBTV, Good Question is produced by Jack Vandertal. Special thanks to Jamie Bull. For the Queen City Podcast Network, WBTV's Good Question is produced by Brian Baltashevitz and Maria Delgado. Production coordinator, Taylor Robinson. It is recorded at the Queen City Podcast Network studios at Huga Coworking in Charlotte, North Carolina.
QueenCityPodcastNetwork.com.